broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Well, fam, it's Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. We're a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what we're talking about, and truth is our bitch on this show. So we're going places other talk shows wish they could, but they cannot, because they don't believe in truth, because they don't believe in the fair and the just and the honest and the equal and the weird. But we do. Let me ask you a question. Are the goods that we're sending our troops in care packages good enough? Are the things that we send to our young men and women in Iraq, Afghanistan, and elsewhere in the world, are we sending these great young men and women the kinds of things that give them comfort and the kinds of things that remind them of home, a cool drink, some snacks, foods, other things that they may need, batteries for some sort of an audiovisual device they're using for their music or their movies? Are we sending them what they need? We're going to be talking with a young man, R.C. Collins, who is a cadet at Bradley Military Academy, a young man who is hoping to advance and have a career in the U.S. Army. We're going to talk to him about those things from home and those things that that we do send to our kids. Charlie LaFountain, who is a writer and a father, is going to join us in our second hour to be talking about how to dissuade child predators and what is your child's responsibility, believe it or not. We're going to talk with Charlie LaFountain about that. One of the things that he's writing about, which is controversial, is the need, against all all of the conversation we've heard, is the need for the kids to keep on the weight, to have extra weight. So Charlie LaFountain joining us next hour here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-7445 is our number, 877-876-PHIL. And our affiliate spotlight this evening, a WTAR Norfolk, Virginia, and KERN in Bakersfield, California, right up the road from us. We're going to get on the line here with R.C. Collins at Bradley Military Academy. This is in Altadena, California, as we kick off tonight. But one thing, put it on hold, will you? Put it on hold. Bud, put it on hold.
What?
The phone. Put it on hold. I can hear the... I wanted to mention our website, philhenryshow.com. If you head over there, be sure to get a backstage pass, which gives you access to literally years and years and years and years, 15 years worth of archive material, as well as our daily podcast, as well as our classic Phil podcasts, our video on demand, our daily video cast, which is up and running right now here from the El Pacifico. It's all there at philhenryshow.com. RC, how are you, sir?
Yes, Mr. Hendry.
How are you?
I'm doing good, sir. Thank you for letting us talk about this.
What grade are you in? What level of cadet are you?
I'm a junior cadet.
You're a junior at Bradley Military Academy?
Yes, sir.
And RC, you wrote a blog for the for your cadet class. I guess there are a number of I know you have an academy newspaper there. And you also have blogs for your senior level and junior level, and you wrote one having to do with supplies from home, correct?
Yes, sir. The blog was called Message from Home, and it was about the kinds of things that troops get sent.
Yeah, maybe if you tell those guys to turn the TV down.
Yeah, turn the TV down. The article was about the kinds of things that or the blog was about the kinds of things that get sent to the troops in Afghanistan, in Iraq, and other places where they're deployed around, the world. And the substance of the blog had to do with the fact that a lot of it is pretty substandard. It's not because the people at home don't care. I think that there needs to be more thought put into what we're sending our troops. These are people that are defending this country, and you know, I for one am very, very devoted and committed to my career here at the academy, and then eventually I want to go on to West Point. And
you want to become an officer?
Yes, sir, very much so. And then I hope to defend my country. You know, I hope to be deployed to a theater where there is active engagement of an enemy. And And I can tell you that I'm willing to go to the limits. I mean, I'm like everybody here at Bradley. We're ready to go to the limits for the country that we live in. And you know, I mean, I'm pretty psycho about how I view defending my country.
And all right, so you guys are very, very committed, and we would expect nothing less. Although we are very appreciative of that. And so I take it that means that whatever you are supplied from home, and we're not talking about now standard Army issue stuff, right?
Well, I mean, the standard issue that you get in the services, whether it's the Army or the Marine Corps or the Air or what have you, is not going to be the same as what you can get from home. It's pretty, I mean, you know, regular MRI is pretty, like, there's pudding and there's some meat, but it's a lot of it's dehydrated. It's not the highest quality kind of food, but you don't expect it to be high quality. It's coming from the Army. It's intended to make sure that you have enough fuel, but that's supposed to be something that, you know, is comfort food. What we want from back home has more to do with, you know, rounding out the experience of being deployed overseas and having stuff from back home that is, you know, making it worth putting your life on the line.
Talking to R.C. Collins, who is not yet in the Army. He is a junior cadet at Bradley Military Academy. And we're discussing, I guess, the quality of the home front support. Now, we're not talking about anything here, R.C., having to do with... you are, as a young man, you're not yet in the military, but you see the way the average soldier is being supplied by the military itself as adequate, correct?
Well, yeah, and the one thing I want to correct, I'm not in the military in a technical way that you said. You're right about that, Mr. Henry, but it's not the best thing for our morale, I guess, to say, well, you're not in the military, you're not in the military. I mean, I am in the military in the sense that the minute I came to Bradley Military Academy, the minute I put on the cadet cap, the minute that we were on the parade grounds for the Commandant Parade, and then the different, you know, things that we did, I mean, and learning and training and everything that goes into being a military academy, I am in the military because otherwise, and I'm ready, you know, I'm pretty psycho, and so are a lot of my friends that are here in the class. So to say that we're not in the military is kind of bad. It's kind of bad for the morale a little bit.
All right, well, I mean, what I'm saying is you're not an official member of the United States Army.
No, sir, not yet, no. But I know that, you know that. I mean, we don't have to keep, I guess, beating it into the ground, you know.
All right, well, I'm not going to beat it into the ground. I wanted to make that distinction. What are the things that the soldiers, that the sailors, that the airmen, that the Marines, what are the things that our fighting men and women around the world, what do you feel they are not getting?
Well, I think personally, and I've talked to a lot of the cadets here. I mean, there's a lot that they're not getting that they need to have that they are not getting. For instance, if you some of the stuff that they get borders a little bit on as if they're little kids, and I don't mean to say that I don't want to insult anybody at home because I know the parents really try to do their best, but it's a little bit of an insult to send, like, Pop-Tarts and stuff like that, you know.
And why is that an insult? Isn't that kind of a nice treat to have?
Well, I mean, we're fighting men, and, you know, we want to kill, you know, for the country and kill the enemy. And you go, oh, yeah, here's a treat. It sort of minimizes...
So you feel that kind of diminishes the mission?
Yeah, a little bit. I think it diminishes the mission. It makes it seem so... You know, like, here's your Pop-Tart, go out and kill the enemy. I mean, that's really that very respectful. The other thing, and I think you saw this in the movie Hurt Locker, which was a very good movie, but I don't think it did a lot for the morale to show that sometimes you're going out, you know, on a mission or you're going out on patrol and you've got a juice box in a cooler, which is totally, totally, totally something that just a... Maybe a school kid would have, you know.
And well, are they drinking out of juice boxes over there or not?
Well, yeah, they are. But I mean, I didn't think it was good for the director of the movie to show it. And I think that's something that needs to be addressed. I don't think we want to have a juice box, you know, like that. It would be great if we had root beer or we had Coca-Cola. There's nothing wrong with that. But we would prefer to be in a container that, I guess, sort of you can look at and go, well, I got a bottle in my hand, I got a can in my hand, and I'm sitting here with a juice box like I'm a little kid, you know, that I'm not allowed to be able, I can't do my job. Yep.
Well, you're taking personally the idea that there's juice boxes and Pop-Tarts being sent to the troops, right? And
well, yeah, I think a lot of soldiers take it personally. I mean, we
have... Well, who have you talked to? Have you talked to soldiers that are upset that they're getting juice boxes and Pop-Tarts instead of what? And you say a bottle or a can?
Well, yeah, a bottle or a can or instead of a Pop-Tart, it would be better if you just... It doesn't have to be anything very elaborate. They have the sausages that you can get in the in the freezer section of a market. If you get the frozen sausage sandwiches that they have, those are very good. They have the sausage patties that are very good. I would much rather have the sausage patties or the frozen sausage sandwich than a Pop-Tart, which I think is just, like I said, kind of little kid-like.
All right.
Like the Jimmy Dean, they have those. And donating juice boxes is sort of cheap, too. That's the other thing I was going to say, and Pop-Tarts, too. We want to feel as if people are spending money on us because we could die. And if you're giving your life for your country and people are, like, being cheap. Yeah, I was just talking to Cadet. McMillan said that if you're being cheap, then it means you hold our lives cheap, too.
If you're being cheap, who are you talking to specifically now, RC? Are you talking?
Well, I mean, I'm talking to the parents. I'm talking to just everybody that gives stuff to the troops. Please don't hold our lives so cheaply in your hands that the only thing we rate are juice boxes and Pop-Tarts.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. R.C. Collins from Bradley Military Academy talking about these snacks and supplies and things that are sent to the troops by civilians. I wanted to ask you, R.C., and I don't think that it's, I don't think I'm talking out of school now. When you say that you don't want people to be cheap, when you say you don't want the people out there to be cheap, the mothers and fathers, aren't you being a little demanding, you know?
Well, I don't think so, sir. I mean, we're talking about giving our lives for the country. I'm going to die someday killing Al-Qaeda, and if there's a God in heaven, I'll die killing Al-Qaeda. That's how I want to go. And all I'm asking for is that instead of sending me treats, that I get a sausage sandwich or sausages. And I mean, I'm too young now. If I go to Iraq or Afghanistan, I'll probably want to have a cigarette. And they don't even want to send cigarettes because the brass, the army, the top of the army don't want us to have them.
You guys don't get cigarettes?
No, we don't. And
well, you guys in the military academy are too young, but you're talking about the soldiers in Iraq and Afghanistan?
Well, I don't imagine they get cigarettes either, the way that they're treated by the Army brass and by civilians, too.
Well, there's a big thing about smoking. I mean, we could get into that, but I right now what we're talking about is what you consider to be the substandard stuff being sent by civilians. It's cheap. And R.C. Collins joining us from Bradley Military Academy basically saying, spend some money on us. We're going to sacrifice our lives for the country. We're getting Pop-Tarts and juice boxes, and we would appreciate... Instead, cans and bottles of root beer and sausage McMuffins and these kinds of things is there a disconnect here between us at home on the home front and what our young people, our young fighting men and women need? Because God knows whatever it is they need, we're ready to give it to them. Whatever it is they want, we stand here ready to give it to them. RC is talking about, quote, spending some money. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. The world-famous Phil Henry Show back in just a moment here with R.C. Collins. Don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. The Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
As his TV on. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And again, 877-876-PHIL as we talk here with R.C. Collins. Again, you guys need to have that TV turned down there. And we're talking with Mr. Collins and other members of Bradley Military Academy about the, I guess you could say, the care packages and the supplies and things that we send to our fighting men and women from home. And a lot of it, yeah, is comfort food. The Pop-Tarts and the juice boxes and the Starbursts, you know, and things like that. RC is claiming that this is rather inexpensive stuff and bruises morale when the soldiers get this stuff because they look at it and they think, how much are they spending on this back home when I'm here fighting for my country? Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We're going to take some of your phone calls as well. I wanted to ask you, RC, examples of other things that you consider to be substandard or cheap that come from the States.
Well, a lot of the guys I know that is coming back, and I tell you, a lot of them say they'll get things like Skittles, or they get, like you, what you just mentioned, Mr. Henry, which is the Starbursts, or they get, peanuts. It when you're expecting to get sausages or to be able to get, a big keg of root beer or something. I mean, we're just asking, you know, Charles Dickens wrote Oliver Twist, which was a book about a little boy that was starving and living in London, and even he got, you know, you figure Twist got sausages and from the protagonist in the book. We just read it in our English lit class. So Twist, I think, is an example of how tough you can be. And that's what I was grateful for when I read about Twist.
And what did we say, Twist?
Oliver Twist.
Oh, I'm sorry, Oliver Twist, yeah. But that was a young man who was starving to death.
Well, that's what I mean. I mean, he didn't have anything, and yet when he did find people that would take care of him, he got sausages and things like that. But what we get are Skittles, and you just... I don't want to go and come out of a cave with an insurgent's head on a stick for a bag of Skittles, you know.
All right. 877-876-7445. I hear what you're saying. I'm also mindful of the fact that you're not yet in the military. Here is Jim. Hi, Jim. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with R.C. Collins.
Yeah, I just want to know how this guy feels like he can answer for men and women who've seen combat, himself not seeing combat. I know several people that have been over in the war,
uh-huh,
and are grateful to get anything and look forward to getting their mail and stuff from home.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, you're right, but I know guys over there too. See, I'm not talking about necessarily combat. I'm talking now about just what you get from the States, and you're over there, and any day you could take incoming, you know, like an incoming mortar, and guess what you got that day in the mail? You got like macadamia nuts or Starburst, and you're going to die for that?
No, you're dying for your country because that's what they signed up to do.
Well,
They're also getting paid. It's not like it's not like we're paying them Starburst to go put their life on the line. That's added extras from home.
It doesn't seem like it's enough that they could send, good Cadbury chocolates and stuff like that, you know, spend a little bit of money instead of going down to a liquor store and getting a big hunk.
I know plenty of people who are in the armed services and would be happy
uh-huh.
to get nothing from home. They're happy just to serve their country and don't feel like they have to have extra sent from home.
What about that, RC? Do you talk to guys that are don't care?
I've never talked to anybody that doesn't care. Guys are always looking for an extra deal and everything. They're finding stereo equipment from Italy or they're finding stuff from Egypt. I mean, they're always shipping stuff back here. I mean, if you think about the guys, they ship stuff stateside that's pretty good. Like the older brother of a friend of mine, he's shipped back a whole bunch of iPods and stuff that he got. Well, I mean, it was black market. But,
all right, I mean, that's fine, but I mean, what do you hear guys complaining that they're not getting anything from the States?
Yeah, you hear a lot of people go, you know, mushrooms, I mean, the mushroom stew that they got one time, and they got some Progresso soup, and they're just, they hated it.
Progresso soup. All right. Jim, thank you. Our number, 877-876-7445, are the things that we send our men and women overseas, is it quality stuff, or are we shortchanging them? RC says, he's a cadet, though. He says we ought to spend more money. 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry. The Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and we're talking with R.C. Collins, who is a cadet at Bradley Military Academy, and he's basically talking with us about the food and the treats and the snacks and the things like that that are sent to our troops overseas. Whether they be Skittles or whether they be Starbursts or whether they be juice boxes or these kinds of things, socks, shirts, board games. RC, your basic point is they're not good enough. The stuff is cheap, and they want stuff that's better.
That's essentially it, sir. And
all right, now what about the fact that you haven't been over there? That was the comment that was made to you. By the first caller. You haven't been there. You don't know.
Well, Mr. Henry, I've talked to soldiers that have been there. I've talked to guys that have gone over there, and they've all said to a man the same thing, that, you know, we don't want to tell civilians because there's an attitude in the military. I don't know if you know this or not, but it's hard for us to be honest with civilians because we don't know whether they're going to be able to take it or not, and there's a lot of ugly stuff that we've seen. But when we go to Iraq or Afghanistan, and they're going to send me a Slim Jim and a hand sanitizer, and I want to go and I'm going to kill, well, not Bin Laden anymore, but you know, Al-Qaeda, and they're sending hand sanitizers and gum, you know.
Well, yeah, but the guy we just talked to said, you're doing it for the pay, and you're doing it for the patriotism.
Yeah, you know, Mr. Henry, that sounds good in a movie, you know. That sounds real good in the movie, and it sounds real good on Fox and Friends. But I'm psycho. I'm ready to eat my own guts for my country, and I do want to eat my own guts for my country. But not to come back to base camp and see that somebody sent me a board game or mouthwash.
But what do you guys want? You want more porn?
I didn't say that, sir.
Well, I mean, to me, that's what it sounds like.
Well, I didn't say that, but...
Are you asking for adult things like that, porn, or are you asking for...
Well, we're asking for to be treated like men, yeah. And the fact is, we don't really have that much to relax to. If you're seeing adult films, I mean, I would appreciate that, yeah. And I would appreciate a beer instead of somebody sending me a, you know, baby wipes or something.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. R.C. Collins here. Here is Shane. Go ahead, Shane. You're on the Phil Hendry Show as we talk about the stateside stuff. Go ahead.
Hey,
Shane.
Hey, this is Shane from Connecticut.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it's just funny to me that you have someone on the line here, R.C. Collins, that's a cadet who's never experienced anything, never been deployed. I'm a 10-year Navy veteran, honorable discharge. I was on submarines, and I've been deployed many, many months overseas. And the creature comforts of home are what matter. And I never at
exactly.
any point in my
military. Can exactly.
I finish my point?
Well, yeah, but I mean, you guys, are you telling me you're happy with a baby wipe?
Let the guy finish.
Yeah, I mean, it's not about being happy or not being happy. You just appreciate the fact that your relatives, your friends, your family members are thinking of you, and you have that little taste of back home to remember what you're fighting for. It's not the dollar amount or the physical gift itself. It's the fact that I'm fighting over here defending my country,
for my family members and my friends to live in a free country back home, and they're thinking about me while I'm out here. That's what you care about. At no point in my 10 years of service did I think, while I was deployed overseas, man, I wish someone would send me, a pornographic magazine, or I wish
you're in the submarine service. You guys had it pretty good. I mean, you get to eat steak and eggs and everything.
Oh, you think? Hey, how many submarines have you served aboard?
Well, Mr. Henry, didn't you say your brother was on a sub?
My brother was on a sub a long time ago, but still in all, your comment, RC, is you guys have got it easy. Submarine life is, you guys are working 24 hours a day, right, Shane? I mean, you guys don't stop moving on a sub.
Absolutely, Mr. Henry. It's 18-hour days, 6 hours on watch. It's daunting.
Right. And you're underwater a lot, too, right? Are you not, you're not above
absolutely.
The surface for long stretches.
No,
yeah,
are you kidding me?
Anything. That's not all that hard if you think about what other guys is doing in Afghanistan.
R.C. Collins, I'm not going to compare apples and oranges. Every service, every branch has its difficulties. My service was no easier than a Marine's and vice versa. I've done missions with Army Rangers. I've done missions with Marine Recons. That have ridden aboard my boat to do spec ops, and they've said to me, I don't know how you can do this. And the reason I was able to do it is because when I pulled into Liberty Ports or I pulled into a port, getting the letters from back home, the cards,
mm-hmm.
the pictures, the thank you, we appreciate what you're doing. And for me, the biggest thing for me, I didn't care what anyone sent me. It's when you came home on leave.
Yeah.
And I got to see my parents, and I see other veterans, and they shake my hand.
If you're on a submarine, though, you get a granola bar. Right, but if you get a granola bar on a submarine, that's probably like, well, whatever, because we already get granola bars and everything like that. But in Afghanistan, if you get a granola bar, it's an insult, because you're thinking, yeah, sure, thanks.
I don't see it.
What?
I'm just glad that someone's thinking about me, and the food on the submarine... take it from my experience, it's not steak and eggs every day. It's dehydrated milk, it's dehydrated eggs, no produce, everything's frozen, so it's not that great.
Don't you get offended when you get popcorn and stuff like that? I would be.
Offended? Why would you be offended?
Why would I be offended?
Think about cheap
popcorn. I don't give you.
Civilians are cheap.
Your problem is you're fixating on the physical gift
stuff.
Itself, what it is,
right.
And not the thought
yeah.
behind it, and not that you have relatives and family members that appreciate what you're doing
stuff.
For your country. You want another?
I know.
You want that attaboy pat on the back. But
I want to get something in the mail.
Prefer...
If I just got out of a cave with an insurgent's head on a stick, I want to have something like better than a board game and shampoo. God.
Oh, you're, you know, like you said, like the man said.
What?
That's what you need. That's what you need to feel satisfaction for your job. You're like a ball of contradictions, because on one token you say, I eat my guts for my country. I do this, I do that. And then
I'm psycho.
A minute later you say, but I want something from home that's worth it. I want something that's, I want, I'm not happy
right.
with it. Skittles.
Yeah, you don't want a hand sanitizers. You don't want all these things that are going to be sent by people, hand sanitizers and baby wipes. I mean, who knows, man? Maybe the Army or whatever says that the guys need that stuff. Shane, thanks so much for your call, and good talking to a guy on the submarine. What was the name
Absolutely.
Of your boat? What was the name of your boat?
I was on the USS Helena stationed out of San Diego, California. Hoorah, say hoorah, Helena.
My brother was on the Barb. Is the Barb still in service? Probably not, huh?
No, that's not. It's been decommissioned.
That is a decommissioned
submarine. But I appreciate your to have a connection to a fellow submariner. That's good to know.
Oh yeah, he went to New London, Connecticut, and then Pascagoula, which is where their boat was when he got out of the
right.
sub school. Was New London where you went?
That's where I live. I live in New London, Connecticut. I'm a
there
Navy brat. My father was 20 years retired Navy. I was an instructor at the submarine school for my last 4 years in the service. So I've got
out of sight, man.
Marine Force, and I've been deployed, and I know what it's like. I'm speaking from experience, not from a cadet's point of view who has
right.
experience.
I appreciate
much,
it.
Henry.
Thanks very much, sir. All right, there's Shane. RC, you know.
Well, I mean, you basically let him just, you know, have his way with me,
And what do you mean? He was talking about a guy who's out there getting stuff from home, stuff that they want, stuff that they need. And you're talking about what? You're talking about being in the academy.
Well, yeah, but I was given my point of view, and that guy's having his way with me, talking about how, yeah, this, and that. And I'm standing there just going, well, I mean, I don't know anything about no submarine, and nobody else knows anything about submarines. It's a pretty secret thing. Those guys probably think that, I don't know, they probably get bitching stuff in the mail, and they don't care.
Yeah, that's right. If you're on a sub, you get all the really cool stuff that you're talking about, like sausage McMuffins. All right, 877-876-PHIL. Anybody else in the service want to set this guy straight? You're more than welcome. R.C. Collins with us here from Bradley Military Academy as we talk about the stuff that's sent from home. The little things like the handy wipes and the baby wipes and the mouthwash and the socks that go to the soldiers and go to the sailors and everybody else. And as R.C. has been talking, as far as he knows and the people that he talks to, all that stuff is cheap. And they want you to start spending a little bit of money on them. 877-876-PHIL. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Phil Hendry here with R.C. Collins from Bradley Military Academy. You know, R.C., you're talking very honestly and very earnestly here about wanting really good stuff from home. If you go to Afghanistan, if you go to Iraq, you want to make sure that you have really cool stuff. Meanwhile, you're being very childish.
Well, in what way, sir?
Well, when I said, would you hold on, which is a typical term, yeah, you're going, hold on to what? And we're on the air. You want to be treated like a man, why don't you act like a man?
Sir, I, with all due respect, Mr. Hendry, I'm acting like a man. I'm on a radio station. The way that I act like a man and the other people that I'm with is we're going to go to Afghanistan and Iraq, and we're going to kill the enemies of America. And then we go back to base camp, and you get back to base camp after you've been out on a mission, let me tell you what. And you come back to hot chocolate packets and gum? You know, you come back from a strike vehicle. You ever been on a strike vehicle, Mr. Hendry?
No, have you?
Well, that's not the point. Yes, I have, because I'm going to be. I mean, I'm in the military academy.
No, you've never been on a strike vehicle, and you've never been to Afghanistan. So, no, you don't know what it's like.
Well, I've got a way better idea, sir, than you do. And I'm just telling you, you come back from a mission back to base camp, and there's sunflower seeds and Slim Jims, and you feel cheated, and you feel that nobody at home cares whether you live or die.
Oh, come on, and you're not even talking for a soldier. You come back from a mission, and you come back to base camp, you know.
Well, yeah, that's what it's called. You don't know what it's called. I do. And I come back from mission base camp, and all I see, and there's no sausage or sausage McMuffins or anything.
No, you know what? I've just heard from a number of people. We just heard from that young man, and I know you don't think it counts because he was on a submarine and they got all the really good stuff, saying that they appreciate the thought behind these things. Let's go to Tom. Tom, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with R.C. Collins. Go ahead, please.
Hey, young man, I'm telling you, I'm a Vietnam vet. I'm 65
uh-huh.
years old. And
yes, sir.
When we got packages from home, we wanted foot powder. We wanted handy wipes. We wanted those things to keep our... We used handy wipes to keep our weapons clean half the time. We used foot powder to keep our foot clean so we could go out in the field. And by the way, young man, you do not go into combat with the idea you're going to give your life. The object of going into combat is to go in, complete your mission, and come back out alive with all your men.
Of course, that's
sergeant.
What I want to...
You'll never be a second lieutenant, young man, because you're just not that squared away. Thank you.
Well, sir, I want to go and kill the enemy and come back to something more than a handy wipe, wouldn't you?
Until you had fired a shot in anger, don't tell me about killing an enemy. The first time you kill someone, young man, you're going to throw up all over yourself because it is not a pretty sight.
Are you kidding me? That would be the bitchinest thing ever.
He's talking real life here, Arce.
I have lived.
I've done that movie Platoon.
That's a movie, RC. Listen to this, gentlemen.
I have lived combat. 1st Battalion, 5th Marines, 3rd Battalion, 1st Marines, 5th Marine Brigade. You tell me what I did wrong. I came home. I took 39 troops over there in a platoon as a platoon sergeant. We came home, 39 men. We took them over. We brought them back. I'm proud of that. We didn't die.
That's very good. That's very good. Outstanding.
Yeah, but were you guys, like, you know, in a heavy firefight and stuff like that?
Are you listening to what the man's saying?
I was in the Battle of Quezon. Look it up. Son of a gun.
What's that?
I'm telling you, it's not pretty.
Quezon, that was after the Tet Offensive. That was during the Tet Offensive. It's a very big battle. It's on Wikipedia. It's in all the encyclopedias. It's a part of history. It's a part of world history, the Battle for Quezon. The Marines were there, and they won back that city during the Tet Offensive. And, R.C., you're being very disrespectful asking this man, taking a platoon over there and coming back with all of his soldiers, did you get into any fights?
Well, no, I didn't mean to be disrespectful. I just wondered if you can go over there with 39 guys and come back with all 39. Maybe they were just, you know, sitting around or something. I don't know.
Sitting around? It was Vietnam War.
Firefight? You're crazy, boy.
Well, I mean, I thought you'd
you will never be a second lieutenant because you're just not smart enough to be an officer.
Well, I'm not trying to be in the Marines. I'm trying to be Army.
What's that supposed to mean?
Maybe you don't have to be as smart.
I know a lot of people in the Army. They wouldn't tolerate you. The only thing you'll ever be in your career, if you go into service, will be mess officer somewhere.
I don't think so, sir.
You don't have
the attitude. With all due respect, I'm going to go in and I'm going to get an insurgent on the end of my bayonet. You'll see.
Oh, you're going to wind up getting killed probably, RC, with an attitude like that. You know, going in with a... You know, you've been watching way too many movies.
Speaking of movies, I want to ask this man...
If he's sick, he won't know what to do.
Well, what is going to make me sick about that? I just killed me what do you call the guys over there?
You have never heard any Marine, any soldier, ever tell you about killing the enemy. If they brag about killing the enemy, they didn't do it, young man.
What? Are you kidding
me? We did our job.
I seen a guy on TV the other day talking about it in Okinawa. And all the guys that they killed.
That was the World War II documentary. They asked them about it. Of course they're going to talk about it. What happened on Okinawa that they're going to talk about it?
No, it wasn't Okinawa. It was Iwo Jima.
Whatever, man. Same difference. They asked those Marines, what did you do? Where did you go?
Yeah?
My father was killed on Corregidor in World War II.
Where's that?
The Philippines, the beginning of World War II.
If you're in a military academy, you should know the military history.
Corregidor's where?
The Philippines, you idiot! That was the beginning of the war. That was right after Pearl Harbor was bombed.
Well,
you've never heard of the Death March? The Bataan Death March, you've never heard the term Bushido?
Is that food?
Bushido? Is that food?
Yeah,
sure it's food. Bushido is sure death.
I thought it was
Bushido
a dish.
Where if you fall behind, the Japanese soldiers had no respect for anyone who was a prisoner.
What you got to do, RC, is spend less time calling up talk shows and more time getting into your books and your history and other things and quit talking about stuff you don't know anything about and just shut up. That's what you need to do.
Well, if I don't say it, who's going to?
Nobody, and that's a really good thing. No one will talk about the dumbass stuff you're talking about, like getting Slim Jims and sunflower seeds and how you're not happy with that. Tom, outstanding to talk to you, sir. Thank you very much, Tom, and thanks for your service.
Many a time I would have given up. I'd given everything I had for a Slim Jim and a handful of sunflower seeds.
Are you kidding? That's cheap.
Somebody cared.
You could have gotten macadamia nuts.
You want to take a
in
beer
any event,
in combat? You're crazy.
A what? Take a beer
in combat?
Well, I don't want to take
a...
No, you want to take a juice box? Where, if you take a juice box in there, the Viet Cong will laugh themselves sick.
You know why I'll take a juice box? Because it's got
vitamins.
Because it's got the essential minerals in it that you need to keep going. It's got electrolytes.
Yeah. But if the VC see you with it, they'll laugh themselves sick.
Your water, boy.
Exactly, exactly. All right, Tom, thanks very much for your call. I appreciate it, and thanks for a very interesting caller. And if you would have kept your mouth shut, you might have learned something from that man. He's been around.
He goes into combat with a juice box. The Viet Cong would have gone, ha, 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 ha.
Yeah, and while they're laughing, guess what?
They get dead?
Yeah, that's it.
Didn't think about that one.
There's a lot of crap you haven't thought about on this show tonight. You call up with all kinds of silly-ass notions about things.
What are you getting all mad about? You're all like, ah, crap, you didn't think about tonight. God, just take it easy, Mr. Henry.
Well, waste my time, man. My producer says, oh, we got this kid from the military academy. He's going to talk to us about, you know, packages from home. The next thing I know, you're yakking about Slim Jims coming out of a cave with an insurgent on your bayonet and the Viet Cong laughing themselves sick when they see a Marine with a juice box.
Well, that guy said I was going to throw up when I killed me, my first insurgent. I don't think so. They just roll off my knife.
What? You throw up?
I got a fever booster.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World-famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they cannot. And that's the part that is devilish about it. And, of course, we are radio for patriots, by patriots, every night here. As I mentioned, we're holding forth trying to help you across the sort of a maze, a swamp of soft, dumb heads. Charlie LaFountain is going to be joining us this hour. Mr. Fountain is a parent and a member of his parent-teacher organization out in the Azusa area of California. He's the father of a 14-year-old girl, and he's going to be joining us next with some controversial ideas on how to dissuade child predators from attacking our kids. This is a ongoing problem. One of the good things about it, though, is that we are now very aware of it and we're dealing with it head on and we're not hiding it. And we're not, we're not as dumb as we used to be. I mean, I remember 20 years ago, the whole McMartin case was an example of mass hysteria just run amok. I mean, it wasn't just that people were beginning to imagine things. They were destroying people's lives and reputations in the process. So hopefully we've gotten a little bit smarter. Reminder that we are online at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. And you can get a backstage pass and access to our live streaming video of the show every night, Phil TV in HD, as well as our archives, podcasts, and our video archive, a five-day archive of the show, audio as well as video. It's all there at philhenryshow.com. It's probably the best deal you're going to get anywhere on the Internet when it comes to a radio show. Also, we're going to be on Fox and Friends on June the 14th on the Fox News channel. 877-876-PHIL is the number. And Charlie LaFountain joining us from Azusa, California this evening. And Charlie, thanks for joining us, sir. How are you?
Very good, Phil. Thank you for having me.
And you are right now, I know you're at some kind of an event.
Well, it is a carnival that we have. It's the beginning of the summer carnival that we put on. The Men's Club here at our church, and I man a booth, and that's what I'm doing. That's what I was doing before I got on the phone with you.
And you have been very vocal in your community. I know that there were, over the past 3 or 4 years, several instances of children being attacked, and we're not talking about necessarily in their homes by their fathers or male or female relatives. We're talking about in the community.
That is, yes. Unfortunately, we had one incident here over the last 8 months, which was quite traumatic for the community, as well as two incidents of a stranger attacking two young kids here, and so we put together some creative ideas and managed ideas that we hope will begin to arm our young people, as well as parents, to the problem of predators. Because this is the summer, and these are the months when the kids are out on the streets. They're doing all of the things the young person wants to do. They're you know, visiting their friends, or they're riding their bikes, or they're taking the bus, or going someplace, or driving a car. And we have come up with steps that we feel need to be implemented, and we think that they go contrary, certainly, to the popular wisdom. And so that's what I suppose I'm warning you.
Well, and give me an example.
Well, an example would be we've heard, especially the last few months, we've heard that we've got an obesity problem among children. Well, I have to tell you that that's the least of our worries if we have an obesity problem, because we've also got a children are being attacked and murdered problem. And
now, you're not trying to panic people, are you?
No, I'm not trying to panic anybody, but you're aware, and I'm aware, and I think everyone in your audience is aware that children are at risk. So when we tell kids that they have an obesity problem and that they must lose weight, what we're telling them is shed the fat, slim down, get into a more healthy regimen, and become more attractive to a child predator, a freak, and a creep.
And well, that's not what we're telling them.
No, it's not what we're telling them, but that's the effect.
And so you're telling me that we need our kids to remain heavy.
What we need is our kids to not to know what are the priorities here. Is the priority keeping the weight off so that somehow you keep the weight off as a kid, so somehow you hit your 18th birthday ready to rock and roll? I don't know what that means. Or is the priority keeping the kid alive past tomorrow?
See, to me, that's panic talk, keeping the kid alive past tomorrow.
I'm telling you, you don't know where these predators are. My daughter is 14 years old. She's a beautiful young lady. She's also an intelligent young girl, and we certainly are very proud of her. But I would much rather she sit down and eat all the pancakes that she wants, have all the donuts that she wants, and put some weight on and create, if you will, a body type that's not going to be something that looks like eye candy to one of these freaks that goes after children.
And I think you are, you know, it sounds to me like you're missing what being a child predator is about, you know?
Oh, I'm missing it. Well, what do you mean, am I missing what being a child? Mr. Henry, I'm not missing anything. If you want to enlighten me.
Well, I think the psychological dynamic at work here, these people that are doing this are delusional people. They don't even get to what they're doing, I think, in some cases. Well, I think they know it's wrong. I'm not trying to give them an excuse there. But I believe that they, you know, I don't know, that body type or whatever.
You're saying that you don't think that a predator that wants to target a young girl is going to care whether she is lovely, like my daughter, a lovely young lady, a healthy young lady, or if she has, you know, or if she's fat and she's a little fat kid. You say there's no difference.
I think it's opportunity, you know.
You think, well, Mr. Henry, I have to tell you,
I just think it's opportunity. I think that it doesn't matter if she's slender or if she's fat, if there's an opportunity.
I am telling you, based upon my observations and based upon my instinct as a father who has a young daughter still at home, I'm telling you that I am not going to risk my daughter walking around in the summer months in California, a beautiful, healthy young woman, so these guys that get their kicks and their freak with kids can spot her and try to snatch her off the street. I would rather that she is a fat kid, and I know that that's probably not going to... She's 14 years old, so I don't think... Well, she certainly...
Well, that's the other thing. 14-year-old girls are pretty aware of themselves.
I understand that, but they're not if you tell them they look beautiful.
14-year-old girls, it doesn't matter what you say to them, man. They're going to be walking around with their friends. The fact is, you want your daughter fat. Is that what you're saying?
I want my daughter safe. And the way to make her safe is to keep as much fat on her and make her... I am tired of listening to these commercials.
The way to make her safe, then, is to make her unhealthy.
No, I don't buy that at all. I don't buy that at all. I don't buy that a 14-year-old kid with fat is unhealthy. I don't buy that at all. You pack some fat on a kid, and the kid may live longer than next Tuesday. But
boy, like I said, you don't want to panic anybody.
What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to get the word out to all parents. And
no, but when you say live past next Tuesday, live past next September, you are talking like a panicked man. And
Mr. Henry, we live in the state of California. The summer months are here. You're telling me there aren't guys standing on every street corner whose freak isn't some young, you know, when I don't know how these guys think, but they think, they look at a kid and they think it's a tasty deal. I don't know how these freaks think. But if they look at my daughter, what they're going to see, if children to these guys are pieces of fruit on a tree, my daughter is a fat pear that's hanging from a tree. And
so you want to make her a fat kid so that she isn't so attractive. All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL.
Well, I didn't say make her unhealthy, but what I am saying is we need to begin to look seriously at how to attack this problem, and let's stop with all of this. We've got an obesity problem with children. What we have right now is a problem that our children are being victimized, and we have to dissuade these predators. We need these kids to stay fat and to stay in the mind of a predator as, I don't know, but as revolting as humanly possible.
Well, I would love to be able to sit down and look at the psychological profile of some of these people and ask them, well, now, this kid is really fat and revolting. Did it make any difference? Are these people, you know, mentally, does it matter to them, you know? And I don't know what happens if we get a call this hour from someone who was attacked as a child and they were fat.
Well, in their mind, they were fat. See, that's the thing, in their mind. You've got a lot of these anorexic kids. They think they're fat. I think we need these kids to be fat for, in reality, fat. To be fat. And then at 17, I think we need to get them to mandatory fat camps so that they can hit their 18th birthday in good shape and be a attractive or however they want. But as long as they're underage and they're children, we need for them to be as repulsive and revolting as possible to any weirdo that wants to take advantage of them.
And in your mind, that's keeping them fat.
Keep them fat and don't harp on the whole childhood obesity thing. Keep your kid fat and weird looking. Keep your kid fat and just, you know, and I say this with the greatest of love and respect for many parents, but if your kid is sweating, if he's fat and he has a smell about him, keep the child and of all of these things.
Well, it has a smell about him. What do you mean by that?
Well, when I was a kid, and when you were a kid, there was always one kid in the class that smelled, was fat, had, I don't know, oil, it was oily. What is wrong? You know, we always say, well, ha, 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 look at that kid. But you know what? I bet you that kid stayed alive. He lived to see his 18th birthday.
Well, I can tell you that I wasn't fat. I wasn't oily. And I didn't get attacked and molested.
Well, did you walk home from school?
I rode my bike.
You rode your bike? How far did you ride your bike?
Probably about 3 miles.
You know what? I can't talk to you if you're not going to be honest with me.
I'm being honest with you. I rode a bike. I rode my bike home about 3 miles back and forth.
Well, I was in the 1960s. They were not as brazen and as bold, all right? And back in those days, they probably had their pick of the litter. What do they want? Some kid like you, some freckle-faced kid. So we are hopeful that parents will begin to take this message, allow their children to eat. And even if the child becomes a fat and repugnant child, he's only repugnant to a predator. He's not going to be repugnant to you. You love him. And if he sweats and he stinks, that's sweating and stinking to the kids in the school, not you. You understand?
All right. And so we'll give this kid a real great complex as he gets older, as he's made fun of, as he's called fatty, as he's called piggy, as he's told that he smells. That's really going to help, huh?
Would you rather that happen, Mr. Henry, or you find him behind a garbage bin someplace dead with his pants pulled?
All right. Unbelievable. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. What do you think about the idea that harping on childhood obesity is a bad thing because if we keep the kids fat, then they don't make such targets for predators. An obese kid dissuades a predator, according to Charlie LaFountain here on our newsmaker line. And then, of course, the mandatory fat camps at 17. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Your call's next on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. The Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL.
Hold on, hold on.
That's
877-876-7445. Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and with me is Charlie LaFountain, a father, member of the men's club out in Azusa at his daughter's, at their church, and you have been talking and setting up a program with other parents having to do with the making the kids unattractive to predators, which basically means keeping them obese, which is what we've been hearing we should not be doing with our kids, that we have an epidemic of obese kids.
Mr. Hendry, again, I if you want me to repeat what I said.
No, I'll tell the audience that essentially your point is it's better for the child to be fat than to be dead, is essentially what you're saying.
That is exactly correct, sir. And I'm not going to, I'm not trying to scare anyone, but I won't back off of that. I would much rather my daughter... I would much rather that my daughter live to see the sunrise next Wednesday.
Than see, everything with you is like right away she's going to die, man. Tomorrow, the next day.
I want my daughter to enjoy her life. And if that means that we are serving, and we do, I can give you, we serve her pancakes for breakfast. She doesn't leave the table unless she eats at least the three quarters of the pancake dish or a waffle and so forth. We must understand, and I told you, and you laughed during the break, when we were leaving two weeks ago, we were leaving one of the scout meetings, and I had three or four of the girls in the car, my daughter and three of her friends. I was driving them home from a meeting. We saw this guy hanging around the corner. He looked like a creep. I knew he was one of these child grabbers. Right away, I could tell. And I rolled the window down, and I told him that we got nothing but fat kids in this car, and he's welcome to... if he wants to even walk over and take a look. Of course, I didn't mean that.
Yeah, if you got a guy like that hanging around the neighborhood, why don't you call the cops?
I rolled the window down and I said, I know why you're here, and I got nothing but fat brats in this car.
Now, and how does that make those girls feel?
Are you kidding? I've got a guy who...
Sir, you don't have any idea whether that guy is there to be a predator or not. All I know is you're yelling at some stranger on the street, I got fat brats in this car.
I'm telling him that the fishing's no good. This is not the fishing hole he wants to be at. Move on down the road. Go to another spot.
Go to another spot. Victimize somebody else's kid.
No, that's not the message. The message that I'm trying to send is, buddy, we're on to you. And we're on to all the predators out there that are trying to victimize children. I got nothing but fat ones in here. And I told you, Mr. Andrew, we were talking about being a child. The fat kid, the one that smelled like you couldn't describe it when you got home to your parents. Do you remember when you were a kid, you'd get home to talk to your parents, and they'd say, how did school go? And you couldn't describe... The smell on that one kid.
And no, I don't remember that at all, to be honest with you. 877-876-PHIL. I have to move on to get to a phone call here. Mark, go ahead. You're on. Mark? 876-7445 here on the Phil Hendry Show with Charlie LaFountain. And we're talking with Charlie about his idea that we have obese children. And these children should not be told to lose weight. They should be told to put the weight on. They should be told to put on as much weight as possible so that they dissuade predators. And what about what we tell women? Don't dress sexy. It only attracts rapists.
I don't know about that, Mr. Hendry. I'm not here to talk about women. I'm here to talk about children.
Well, the message is the same. The message is, if you make yourself less attractive, then you won't attract predators. It's the reason why women who are raped become fat. because they don't want it to happen again.
Well, we don't want it to happen the first time. And so in order not to let it happen the first time, we're asking that the parents of these children put the weight on and keep it on and make sure that these kids, as they are eating these meals, whether they are pancake meals, whether they are potato meals, to make sure they finish these meals. And that by, say, 2 or 3 weeks out, you've got a kid that is a fat kid. That's the only way I can put it. An obese child, or however you want to put it.
877-876-PHIL. We got Mark back on the line. We lost him. No, yes, no, yes. No, yes, no, yes, no, yes. No, yes, no, yes. Mark.
Hi. Yeah.
Hi.
The gentleman out in California, I have four boys, 10, 5, 4,
yes, sir.
And I'm going to tell
yes,
you,
sir.
Yes, I don't raise my children, and I wasn't raised the same way. We were raised to learn the dangers of the world. We are
absolutely
people.
Absolutely.
But that is exactly what needs to happen. It's an issue of parenting at this point. If you're not teaching your children what to look out for, you are causing more harm than good. You are.
Oh, I want to teach them, but I also don't want them to be walking down the street and they're a target for some freak who sees this.
Predators are going to take the opportunity. If you don't teach your kids the dangers, it doesn't matter if they weigh 5 pounds or 500. They're going to take the easiest opportunity. So by not
you're telling me that a predator is going to go after a 500-pound kid.
Plenty of airtime. So by
exactly. Why don't I tell you what, Mark, why don't you hang on the line here? We'll be right back with you. Our number 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-7445. We'll be back. The Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and hanging on is Mark, and we also have Charlie the Fountain. Charlie, you were saying it in the break?
Well, I was just saying that my daughter, we want my daughter as fat and, frankly, as unhygienic as possible. We don't let her take that. She takes 2 showers a week.
So in other words, you want your daughter to be repulsive to everybody and everything.
If it keeps the child alive.
I know, next Tuesday.
No, I'm talking about, I don't know, is the gentleman there that I was talking to?
Yeah, Mark is here.
Yeah, I'm still here.
You know, wouldn't you rather your child be walking around alive at the age of 18, fat and stinking like a goat?
Well, your church going, there is no guarantee on anybody's life. All you can do is prepare your children for the best way possible. But I'm going to tell you one thing. And it sounds like your heart wants to be in the right place by keeping your children safe. It's all what parents want to do. But if your mind was where your heart was, you teach about the dangers of the world, not about how many pork chops they're going to eat. You're going to teach them about what to look out for. If you guys want to do something to really help your community and the children, you're going to tell them about the dangers. You're going to tell them about what not to do, not to go down the alleyway, not to go anywhere by yourself, not to open the door for strangers. That's what you do. You don't sit there and just say, eat as many pieces as you want to do. That's just, you can't get there from here, and you can't fix stupid. That's all I'm saying.
I think what you're jumping to some conclusions. Of course I do. As I said, when we were leaving that scout meeting, there I saw that guy in the corner, and I said to him, hey, pal, they're fat, and they're with me.
I bet you that made those kids feel great.
No, but I'm saying to the kids, there's one of the creeps right now to hang around here.
Well, let me tell you something. When I was 10 years old, my brother and I and my family was on vacation, and there was a child abductor at the pool where we were at in our hotel. He didn't even belong there. He was part, unfortunately, of the National Guard. That guy shouldn't have been in there. But it wasn't because we were fat. It wasn't because we were an opportunity, because our parents had just went inside for a second and left us there. But they had taught us enough smarts to recognize the situation. And that gentleman was apprehended in Nashville, Tennessee. That's what you do.
Was he able to get a hold of you? Did he take you in the car?
No, he didn't. We wouldn't go. They tried to sweet talk everybody. No, we wouldn't go. That's because our parents taught us the right way.
But let me ask you a question. Here's the $64,000 question, though. How much did you weigh? Were you fat and ugly, or were you a slim down, good looking little morsel?
Come on, will you?
No. That's a fair question. Let me tell you, when I graduated, I was 5'6" and 230 pounds.
That sounds about right.
230 pounds at the age of graduated from high school, 18?
Yeah.
230 pounds.
I was obese. The gentleman was out for an opportunity. That's what I'm trying to say.
You were obese. Exactly. You picked up the weight when you found out this creep was going after you.
No, you're not listening to this man.
You cannot get there from here because there is. We can banter all night long. And that's fine.
I understand.
What you're going to believe, but I'm going to tell you. If you really want to help your children and the children in your community, you're going to show them the right way. You're going to teach them right from wrong. Not about, don't worry about it. And you talked about fat camps. Really, you're going to give a child 17 years of not doing, having to do anything at all, and then all of a sudden you're going to put them through a boot camp to, you want to kill them at 18 because
you've got to slim them down.
You're not used to it.
Don't you want to? Well, once they've been fat through their childhood years and they haven't been hit on by these predators, then you got to, put them in the fat camp and get the fat off.
Why?
Because they're going to be 18 going to college.
Isn't there opportunities to go after 18-year-olds? Anybody can hold a gun. If it doesn't matter how much you weigh, you're going to that person that gun says.
But it's not my problem.
There's your $64,000 question. How do you fat your way out of that?
How do I fat my way out of that? Or fat
that's
my
what
way
you're doing.
I fat my way out of it by saying that at the age of 18, they're adults. I can't make them do anything. I can't tell them to put on weight, take it off, nothing. So I have to let them do what they're going to do, and they're going to be dumb. You want to know why? Because they didn't get fat. Forget it.
No, this man's making so much sense that you can't. The man's right. You can't fat your way out of it. Listen, very good, Mark. Thanks for the call. I appreciate that very much. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. Charlie LaFountain with us as we talk about the best way to dissuade predators from coming after your kids. And your idea, and it's been described as revolutionary, is essentially just making the child as physically unappealing. And you just heard what this man said.
I had no idea how much he weighed. He said that there was a child abductor at the pool that he was at. But I didn't know what the kid looked like, and I don't know whether this guy was going after this kid or not. He said he was fat when he graduated. What I'm saying is we've got too much of an emphasis, far too much of an emphasis on taking off the weight and too much childhood obesity and all of this stuff. We've been talking until we're blue in the face about this. I feed my daughter large meals, big meals. We always sit down as a family and we eat a very large and big meal. We have candy. There's no diet soda. I forbid her to exercise. I forbid my own daughter to exercise. Do you think I do that because I don't love her? Do you think I do that? Do you think I want my daughter to be the fat? And she's fat. There's no question about it. She started out at the age of 14. She was very lovely, but I want that kid fat. And she's fat. And she only is allowed 2 showers a week. That means, yes, she does. She stinks. And
they're going to send her home from school, or they're going to send Child Protective Services out to your place.
No, they're not going to do that.
Well, because if the kid's coming to school fat and stinks, they're going to wonder whether this kid's got any proper hygiene, what kind of a home she comes from.
No, she doesn't stink. I just used, when I said stinks like a goat, it was hyperbole.
You said to that man, would you rather your kid be alive past next week or fat and smells like a goat? What does your daughter smell like, a goat?
No, she doesn't smell like, first of all, I wouldn't know what a goat smelled. Well, we were in Jamaica once on vacation. I never smelled a goat, but I can tell you, I was fed goat stew. And I had a conversation with your producer before we went on the air, the Mr. Rance.
Uh-huh.
And he's going on and on about goat stew. And I said, you need a psychiatrist.
All right, enough about him and goat stew. I'm talking about your daughter.
No, my daughter doesn't smell like a goat. But she stinks the way a kid stinks to another kid. In other words, if you go into a classroom as an adult and you smell about 40 kids, smells like a kid, right? In other words, it may not be the most pleasant odor in the world. You know and I know. We all know that kids smell. But to another kid, she may stink like a dead body. You know what I'm saying?
No, I don't know what you're saying. I don't know anything that you're talking about here.
You got to be putting me on.
I know that when I was in school, there were kids that some kids had better hygiene than others. You know.
Well, what did your mother tell you?
I was a skinny kid. Okay, I was a really, really skinny kid.
No, I mean about taking a bath.
I took a bath every damn day, man. I took a shower every day. That's what they wanted me to do. And
did you use deodorant?
Yes, all of that stuff. I was taught to do that. What the hell's wrong with you, man? You're going to teach a kid that?
Of course you are. So what you have to do is do something radical and different. If you want to keep a predator away from your kid, make sure that your kid goes out the door smelling like something that has been dead under the house. And
you got to be kidding me, man. There's no way on God's good green earth that any parent is going to allow that to happen. You're going to have the school after you. You're going to have the school.
The school's going to come after you for what?
Sending a kid off to school like they don't get proper hygiene at home. You're going to have Child Protective Services.
Well, again, I think you're mistaking what I'm saying.
No, I understand perfectly what you're saying, Mr. LaFountain. You're saying make sure the kid is fat, make sure the kid stinks, make sure the kid's oily, make sure the kid is just a real repulsive wad of bleh, you know, going to school, and predators won't go near. And what happens when you're wrong?
When I'm wrong.
Because it's going to be a win. It's not going to be an if. If you allow kids just to, degrade to that level, and then that's the only protection you give them.
I didn't say that's the only protection. Didn't you hear what I said? I told that guy standing on the street corner.
Yeah, that's another thing, man. Telling that guy that you thought was a child. How did you know that guy was a child molester?
I didn't know. I didn't know he was a child molester. He looked like some bum that was hanging around on the corner who looked like he wanted to put his hands on somebody somehow. I don't know what. But he was hanging around loitering. He looked like a real bum, a real beatnik bum. So as we were pulling out...
A beatnik bum.
You know what I mean. So as we were pulling out, I said to the girls, I said, girls, watch this one. And I rolled the window down, and I said to the guy, I said, hey, bum, I got four of them in here, real ripe, but fat. And when I said ripe, I wasn't talking about ripe like a piece of fruit. I said the smell alone. And guess what he did? He turned on his heel and just began walking down the street right out of the neighborhood.
Bull crap!
Are you calling me a liar?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm calling you.
You're saying that didn't happen.
You're telling me that you looked out the window at some guy...
You know what, Mr. Henry, a very pleasant and profitable good evening to you. And frankly, sir, I hope you die early of a heart.
Wow! Wow!
What'd he do?
He hung up, but not before he hoped that I die early of a heart attack. If I die of a heart attack there, Mr. LaFountain, it won't be early, man. How do you like that guy?
Yeah, you were laughing at him, though.
You're damn right I was laughing at him. This guy's telling me that he pulls out of some Girl Scout meeting with his daughter and two of her friends, sees some guy standing on the corner, right?
Yeah.
And he looks out the window and he thinks this guy's a child molester and he goes, hey, bum, I got four of them in here, fat and real ripe. And the guy turns around, he claims, this guy that he said, this bum, turns around and walks out of the neighborhood.
Are you kidding me, man? That's a pretty effective tool.
He's not telling the truth. Are you kidding?
I got him on here on line two. I don't know if you want to talk to him or not.
These people always call back after they have... Mr. LaFountain, you hung up on me.
Yes, can I speak with Robert Leonard, please?
Mr. LaFountain, it's Phil Henry, the host of the show.
Yes, sir, I don't want to talk to you. I want to speak to the gentleman who understood me. I just heard a man who understood everything I said.
Yeah, this is Robert Leonard. And
shut up. You're talking to me. I'm the host of the show.
Yeah, I want to speak to the man that was sympathetic to my point of view.
He wasn't sympathetic. All he said was he believed that this guy turned on his heel and walked out of the neighborhood.
I told you... And I looked at him and I said, hey, bum, there's four fat ripe. I gave the... You were never in the Navy, were you?
No.
I was a signal corpsman, so I did the signal...
Yeah?
I had some signal corps flags in the trunk of my car, and I did the signal for four fat and ripe.
Good night.
Good night? That's all you have to say is good night. You know, there is a hell, Mr. Henry. There is a hell. It's real. It's very real. People go there. You'll go there. In fact, you're next.
You know, I'd take that as a threat.
Yeah, I'd sound like it.
I could take that as a threat. You're next. I got the Signal Corps flags out of the trunk of my car.
Yeah, we probably stood behind his car and went, four, right,
fat.
How do you know what Signal Corps stuff is?
Well, I mean, I read about it.
That's a guy that's real. This guy's off his freaking cracker, man. He's got the flags. Four, ripe, and fat.
Yeah, and then the guy turned around and split.
Yeah, I'm sure that all happened, man, just the way he said it did. Because Charlie LaFontaine's got it down, man. I got four in here, they're fat and they're ripe. He's doing it with Signal Corps flags, and the dude splits. There's no way, man.
Why don't you believe people, man? How come you're all so cynical?
Robert, there's a difference between being cynical and just a complete and utter imbecile, all right? I'm not going to believe that because only an idiot would believe that.
So you call me an idiot?
Pretty much, yeah, yeah. If you believe that, yeah, you are. You're an idiot.
Well.
Uh-huh. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. The world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Our news and information hour coming up next with Robert Leonard and Bud Dickman.
We can't fight this fight alone.
You know
give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Where you're going, there's no air conditioning.
The Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
All right, we're going to try something, and I don't know. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. One of the people that we use frequently on our program as a contributor is Herb Sewell. Mr. Sewell spent 8 years at Atascadero Forensic Hospital for the, it used to be called for the criminally insane. These days they call them forensic hospitals, but he was there. And he was remanded there by the courts after being found guilty of a variety of crimes against children. He is on our Newsmaker Line 3. And, Herb, you there?
I'm right here, Phil, yeah.
All right. And Charlie LaFontaine, Mr. LaFontaine, I thought I'd get you back on the line because I wanted to... wait a minute. That was... we're still got R.C. Collins going? That's nuts. All right. Here is Charlie LaFontaine. Sir, are you there?
I'm here, but I want the record to show that I am going to be talking to a freak, okay? There's no need, sir, to be that. No, hold on. Hold on for a minute. I understand that Mr. Henry says he wants me on the radio with you, and you're a freak of nature. Do you understand that?
I understand you have issues. Yeah.
I have issues, that's right. I've got issues.
All right, but, you know, I thought you two could dialogue.
Don't give me this modern dialogue. I'm going to dialogue. Next thing you know, you're going to tell me I'm going to get a, what do you call it? Talk about closure? Yeah, they're going to want me to have closure. Is that what you want me to have, closure?
No, I just, all right, the two of you can talk. All right?
Well, here, if I could start off, with all due respect, Mr. Fountain, your daughter, you say, is how old? I'll tell you about my daughter, but I want it to be very clear. If anything happens to my daughter, because of this conversation I'm having with you, you'll look like something they cut down from the roof of Ed Gein's barn. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I understand, sir, yes.
So as long as we're clear, you'll be gutted, salted, and tanned.
I understand, sir.
Good God. All right, we got it.
Not you. I'm talking to this guy.
All right.
Your daughter's how old? My daughter's 14. And how much does she weigh? Boy, you really, you're full. No, I'm just wondering. How much does she weigh? How much your daughter weigh? My daughter weighs 190 pounds.
14 and 190?
Yo, what are you going to do now? Oh!
I didn't say anything.
Oh! 14 and 190 pounds, yeah. Your daughter's 14 and 190 pounds, and you only allow her to shower how often? Are you getting your jollies or something?
He's asking these questions for a reason.
Oh, I bet he's asking them for a reason. I'm not getting my jollies, as you put it. I just get... There's a method to my madness, if you will. What was your question? I just realized it's sort of a pun that I had, a method to my madness. Because at one time I was mad. You know, very mad. You know. See what I mean? He's going freak on me.
Come on, Herb, just stick with it, okay?
All right. And how many times a week? My daughter showers twice a week. And what would you say she smells like? What does she smell like? She smells like a compost heap.
Like dung.
Yes, like dung, like fertilizers. Yeah, she smells most of the time like cow dung.
God!
Take it easy, Mr. Henry, okay? I have here a 14-year-old girl. I'm just taking these notes. A 14-year-old girl. And another thing, I don't like the way you talk. Why did you talk like an American, okay? I am an American. Why do you talk, you know?
Come on, Charlie, we're losing time here, and you're nitpicking a bunch of horse dung, okay? Speaking of horse dung, cow dung.
I said cow dung, not horse dung. What's the difference in the stink? I think there's more of a rich and aromatic. What do you mean, what's the difference? I don't know what the difference is.
All right, just ask the questions.
Well, none of the questions. Here's my comment, and here's my statement to Miss LaFount. It's all in thing. The child's 14 years of age. She is 190 pounds, means she's probably 200 pounds by the end of the summer. That is our goal, yes, sir. That is your goal, yes. She smells, as you say, like a compost heap or like a freshly laid cow patty. And I didn't say anything about being laid, okay?
He didn't say a freshly dumped cow patty.
Right. So, I forgot that. She sweat? Yeah, she sweats profusely. Cow probably sweats like a pig, you see? Sweats like a farm animal. Yeah, like a racehorse. Well, I can't see anything wrong with that. Yeah. Why, you lousy... That's it. I'd like to know where you live. I'm not telling you where I live. All I'm telling you is I don't see anything wrong with that.
Oh, man.
Where does he live, Mr. Henry?
You know what, Herb? I didn't know you were going to come on here and bait the guy.
Sounds like barbecue to me. Mr. Henry, I demand that you tell me where this guy lives.
I can't and I won't, okay?
You won't. You're not doing it. I get me some barbecue sauce on something like that. Yeah. All right, I'll tell you what I'm going to do, Henry. What up? Let me ask you a question. You sure you like girls?
We had to cut out of that because what happened was a lot of foul language ensued and we just dumped. I hope you'll forgive me, ladies and gentlemen.
Boy, that guy LaFountain, what do you think he's going to do?
He's going to just have to sit there and stew in his own anger, man. I ain't telling him where Herb is. And I do want to get Herb back on the line and tell him that's the last time I have him on the air.
You're kidding?
No, I'm not kidding because he purposefully set that guy up to bait him and to piss him off. That's the last time he uses my show to do that. We'll be back with our News and Information Hour next with Robert and Bud here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
Yeah!
Shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
Like, oh my God, I hope the teacher knew what she was doing.
Why is it so uneasy?
It's a miracle that everyone is okay today. We're grateful that they are.
Well, I mean, you know, you got to own up and just take responsibility.
One vision has been presented.
Bastard from a basket!
World famous Phil Henry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show. Radio for patriots, by patriots, that knows what it's talking about. This is a radio show that goes anywhere, everywhere, and all those places other talk shows cannot. State of the art. You know, state of the union, baby. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. And we're also online at philhenryshow.com, where right now, if you have a backstage pass, but you must have a backstage pass, you can watch live streaming video of our show. It's what we call Phil TV in HD. And join all of us. These are all people heading over to their...
Go to their widescreen.
Going over to their widescreens and watching Phil TV in HD. Booby. You check that out? And on Radio for Patriots by Patriots, we ask you also to join us as we lockstep and march over the tops of liberals and so-called progressives who want nothing more than to drive a spear right into the back of this great nation. Well, we won't let it happen. Our number, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. 7445. Great to have you with us here tonight. Let's head on over to Ted's of Beverly Hills. Ted Bell at Ted's of Beverly Hills, and we're going to be talking with Ted this hour.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
Thanks very much, Phil Henry. This is Ted from Ted's of Beverly Hills in beautiful Beverly Hills, California. We'd love to have you down for our slow-roasted, all-day cooked prime rib this Sunday. Join us for Easter. And, of course, Passover, too.
That's right, Passover.
Yeah, because the Jewish people, as you know, Phil, they have their last meal, and then they do whatever they do. And, these holidays are very interesting because, I say this with great respect, I'm not the most religious guy in the world, you know.
Well, it's difficult to understand all the traditions.
But you say you're Catholic, right?
I was raised Catholic, but they're similar to the Jewish faith in that there is Lent, so we...
You don't want to say you're similar to the Jewish faith because it's not. I don't think it's respectful.
And what isn't respectful?
Well, you're Catholic. You're Catholic. You see, you're Catholic.
Yeah.
That's not anything. I don't know any Jew that wants to be compared to a Catholic.
And all right, Ted. You know what? We can get into these discussions of religion at a little later. You know, that was very insulting.
I'm kidding around, to that part of what I said that wasn't a joke. I think it does bear some discussion, but that's for another day. That's for another Phil Henry Show, Ted Bell segment. But I very much do appreciate you having me on the program here tonight, Phil, because the issue at hand that you wanted to talk about, children, babies getting alcohol in these restaurants, I think it needs to be explored because I think the public is overreacting and I think that the news media is.
Well, what we had wasn't one story. Now we have two stories. I think we've actually had three stories over the last week and a half of toddlers being served alcohol by mistake. Now, in the one instance here, Applebee's restaurant in Madison Heights, Michigan, and the parents of a Michigan toddler accidentally served alcohol at an Applebee's restaurant last week, they have filed suit. They have filed a lawsuit against the restaurant. And we're going to listen to some of the audio from that particular story. This is an interview with CBS News. Taylor Dill Reese talks about her 15-month-old son getting drunk at a local Applebee's.
He was a little out there. He was saying hi and bye to the walls, and he eventually laid his head down on the table, and we thought maybe he was just sleepy. Nobody at the table ordered alcoholic drinks. We can't. So he definitely shouldn't have received one.
So that's just one of the mothers involved there, Ted. There was one other story.
Forgive me for saying this. I have to doubt the veracity of that particular woman.
And why?
Well, I think it is a little... I don't buy her attempted humor there. And if you're talking about something that's very serious... Then
what attempted humor are you talking about?
Well, she was trying to be funny. He was just saying hi to the walls. And
she's talking... The lady was talking about what, as far as I know... Okay.
Yeah, as far as you know, so you say, but you don't know.
Ted, I can assure you, I've heard that audio clip over and over, and...
Like you watched the video clip of the 6-year-old getting patted down with a hand down the diaper?
That wasn't me, that was Herb Sewell. I want to... Excuse me.
I'm sorry, but that's what I thought I heard.
Well, you heard wrong. You heard wrong. Now, that mother wasn't trying to do shtick. She's saying that this baby... Any mother that sees a 15-month-year-old child...
15-month-year-old? God almighty!
I meant 15-month-old.
You know, we're talking about alcohol, and I know that you're not drinking, but in order for us to have some credibility, this is a sponsored segment, I would hope that you would keep your mind on your business and not slop your way through this. And
I don't slop my way through my job at all. You understand that?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Well, I don't like you intimating that I'm drinking on the job.
I'm sorry, Phil. I apologize.
We're talking about booze being served to children inadvertently. You're a restaurant owner. How does that happen?
I'll tell you how it happens, and I want people to understand that what we are dealing with is an age-old problem, Phil, and that is the problem of children in restaurants. Now, we have a very stressful situation working in a restaurant, especially a very busy restaurant, on a Saturday night, on a Friday night, a Sunday afternoon. Those are your three biggest days, and those are your three biggest parts of the day,
in the restaurant business. Sunday afternoon, Sunday for breakfast as well. Most breakfast weekends, and of course your weekend dinners. And we had families in that have children that are loud. The children are a little out of control. They are running between tables. The parents don't do anything about it. And you have food servers who are becoming increasingly disoriented by that. They do not mean to serve the child alcohol. What happens is, because they are so stressed out and because they are so disoriented by these loud children, that when they go back to place the order, they inadvertently place an alcohol order. And their thinking is, if I can simply just quiet the child down.
And I don't understand what you mean by they inadvertently. Do they know that they're ordering alcohol, or don't they?
They know they're ordering alcohol. What they're not aware of is that they are going to give it to a child. But it is a subconscious act. Anybody in the restaurant business knows this. It's a subconscious act when you've been around a lot of loud kids. And I know that this is going to sound predictable, Phil, but I have to tell you, you know, I put it squarely on the plate of these parents. You know, I know that they want to blame us, the restaurant. I know they want to blame this and that. You know, these parents, they let these kids run wild. They let their kids scream and yell until the food server, the waitress or the waiter, can't take it any longer. They're on overload. They go back to the kitchen, and they have the bartender pour them what should be a child's drink.
Well, how do you make that mistake? See, here's my question. If I'm a food server...
The way you make the mistake is simply if the child ordered a Shirley Temple or a 7-Up or something like that, you're back at the bar and you're filling that glass with some kind of a clear liquor and then some cherry syrup or something. You know?
No, you're making this sound like they don't know what they're doing, you know?
Well, they know what they're doing, but they don't mean any harm by it. They just want it to stop. Have you ever, you know, Phil? There's a lot of old books you read about people who are tortured, and they just want the torture to end, and they'll say anything, they'll do anything. They may not be in possession of any information that the torturer wants. Maybe we could bring waterboarding into this if you want, but they'll say anything and they'll do anything to just make it stop. And when we're talking about our waiters and our waitresses and our restaurants and very valuable people that they are, they'll say anything, they'll do anything. And when I mean do anything, I mean they'll do anything to make it stop.
And to make what stop?
To make the kid, the noisy kids.
I want to get back to this idea, and we're talking to Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. I want to get back to this idea that children are served alcoholic drinks by waiters and waitresses that don't mean any harm. They just want the kid to shut up. Now, this baby, this child that we were mentioning here in Michigan, and here's another story. A 2-year-old Lakeland, Florida boy was accidentally, quote-unquote, accidentally served sangria wine. And this baby nearly finished his drink in the green plastic Olive Garden cup when a waiter came over with a panicked look on his face. She'd ordered orange juice for her son, but the waiter told her the cup contained tropical sangria. The manager came over and apologized. No one offered to call an ambulance, so she and her mother rushed the boy to Lakeland Regional Medical Center, where she says he was treated for alcohol poisoning.
That was that mother's decision.
Yeah, but here is a guy, there's a waiter who said he didn't know what he did.
He was shocked.
Yes.
You are shocked. You are panicked. You don't want to do what you just did, but you have no choice. And that is, I've got to make the kids stop. I've got to make these, I've got to somehow calm them down. And I've got to somehow make my life and the serving of food and my job and everything in between more enjoyable. And so what do? You almost subconsciously go to the bar and you order a drink that finds its way to the kid.
Has this ever happened to you?
Yes, it happened to me one time. I was helping out with a very large party, and I went, and this child that they had was screaming and yelling, and a couple of them were running between tables, and I grabbed a bottle of table wine. It was a jug of Red Mountain wine, and I poured it into a sip cup. Okay?
Uh-huh.
And I remember walking over and saying, literally taking the child by the head or just the back of the kid's head and pushing the sip cup into the kid's mouth. And they told me, and I don't even remember, but they told me, I said something along the lines of, drink it, damn you.
Drink it, damn you. And what did the parents say?
I don't recall having any interaction with the parents. The parents themselves might have been unconscious of what was going on. But just to the audience tonight, and certainly any servers know what I'm talking about, when you are serving and you have to deal with these kids, you're going to, every now and again, order up an alcohol. You're going to try to get alcohol into that kid. You don't want to do it. You don't want to hurt anybody. But it's either you or the kid. And, you know, this is something we've got to get parents to understand.
Well, I don't understand what it is you need them to understand. I'm going to give our number here, 877-876-7445. What do parents need to understand? Do they need to accept this as some kind?
Yeah, they need to accept it as an occupational hazard. That their kid is loud, and their kid is rude, and their kid won't shut up, and that means that it's very, very likely a food server somewhere is going to try to get some alcohol into the kid. And, you know, these parents, I'm telling you, Phil, you want to talk about me and my servers, these parents come into this restaurant, my restaurant or other restaurants, and they don't care about anybody but themselves, their kid, their table, their food, and everyone else is an actor on the stage that is the grand drama of their little family. And so they wind up with the loud brat, excuse me for saying, and the rest of us have to pay in blood.
And oh, quit being so melodramatic, you know.
That's not, no. It's not melodrama. These parents let their kids run wild. They force us.
Force you to go to the bar and order up an alcoholic drink.
That's right. Our wait staff is at times so tired, they're almost in a trance from the stress of these kids' behavior.
Ted Bell joining us from Ted's of Beverly Hills on the mistaken serving of alcohol to children. This is the result, in his opinion, the result of the food server just wanting the kids to shut up and calm down, so they go over and they get booze to try to tranquilize them somehow. And it's the fault of the parents for letting the kids act the way they do. So if your child is served alcohol at a restaurant, if your as was the case here in this restaurant in Michigan, this Applebee's, or this Olive Garden in Lakeland, Florida, if your child is served alcohol, it's your fault you didn't calm the kid down. 877-876-7445. Your phone call is coming up next for our guest, Ted Bell. Is there any excuse? Is there any excuse for getting our kids drunk? Or is Ted just making excuses for himself and the restaurant industry? 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Table 3, all right?
Steakhouse, come on down.
Come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills. As we were mentioning, you know, it's going to be Easter time, Passover. Great time to celebrate feasting with the family during the holidays at Ted's of Beverly Hills. Come on down.
Here at Ted's, we want to put on
guess
the
where?
Oh,
I missed.
Guess where? Ted, Beverly Hills.
Beverly Hills, yeah.
Ted Bell joining us here. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. We're going to get to some phone calls here, Ted, but the question that I have for you is that if you're putting off the serving of alcohol that has happened, ladies and gentlemen, three times in the last 2 weeks, we've had three news stories from different parts of the country, from the Southeast, Florida, the Midwest, Michigan. I think we had another one in the far West. Alcohol just being served inadvertently.
Well, Phil, look, you know, this proves my point. This happens because what happens in these restaurants? The parents come in, And with them, maybe the apple of their eye, but it's not the apple of my eye. All it is a very loud kid. And so I try to make it comfortable.
What did you say, it? You mean the child?
Yeah, I'm sorry, the child. I try to make the child comfortable, make the family comfortable. All right, but at some point, you have to recognize that you can't take it any longer, that the pressure. And when they come in, they'll say things, and my waitresses are put under an enormous amount of pressure. We do a very, very classy steakhouse. We don't have children's menus, but a lot of these families come in, and they'll say, oh, excuse me, do you have a kid's menu? And that right there is like it takes years off your life.
And why?
What are you talking about, why? What do you mean, why? Because my servers have been trained to be, they're serving at a classy restaurant. It is not a macaroni grill. It's not the Cheesecake Factory. And
those are very nice restaurants.
Yeah, okay, Phil, you got your plug in. You know what I'm talking about, don't you?
All right, no, I know what you're talking about, but I don't understand the whole thing about how it's stressful to have somebody ask you for a children's menu. That part I don't get. Robert in Rapid City, South Dakota, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Ted Bell. Go ahead, please.
First of all, I'm a father of two sons, and I can't even believe what you're saying. You literally served some kid wine to get them to shut up. How about I just shake my six-month-old son so he'll shut up? How about I just smack around my kid so they'll shut up?
Hold on for a minute. That'll kill him. But giving that child a little bit
giving
of alcohol,
him alcohol poisoning will kill him. Are you
stupid? A little
bit
of alcohol is not killing him.
Giving him alcohol poisoning will kill him. Do you even hear the words that are
coming
out of your mouth?
Well, let me ask
you this.
Let's
give our kids alcohol.
Why don't you keep the kid quiet?
Let's let him start smoking, too.
No wonder the kid doesn't shut up. His old man doesn't. Why don't you keep that kid quiet, and then yourself, too?
Oh, hey, take it easy, Ted, will you?
Well, I'm trying to tell this guy something.
How about this? If you don't want to serve the parents or the kids, you have the right to refuse service to anybody as a restaurant owner.
We are trying, sir. We are trying to be accommodating. We're trying to be accommodating.
Well, you should be shut down. Shut down. That's what you should be, is shut down. You shouldn't even open your mouth on the
joke because
you just sound more ignorant.
You don't have kids. You don't have kids. You're full of crap.
What do you mean he doesn't have kids?
I can tell. He doesn't have any kids. You're out in a parking lot lighting firecrackers tonight. You got bored, so you called me.
Wait a minute. Let's be serious here for a second, okay? I'm going to say something. Hold on. If the man just made a very good point. He said, why not refuse service?
Well, they come into the restaurant, and they order their dinner, and then the kid, after he gets his pie or his apple pie, whatever the hell, then the kid starts acting up, and then the kid's loud. Then my waitresses begin to get stressed out. Then they ask me, do you have chicken tenders?
You, as a restaurant owner,
service in this economy.
Right to get rid of them if they are being that
service
obnoxious.
In this economy.
So serve them wine?
All right.
Serve them wine. That's your solution.
All right. Well, all right. Thank you. It's a good point, sir. I appreciate it. 877-876, Phil. We'll be back with more from Ted Bell. And the serving of alcohol to children, that was a mistake, but Bell says, well, you know what? The waiters get so stressed out, sometimes they don't know it, and they're trying to tranquilize them.
Phil Hendry.
877-876-PHIL.
Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show on our website, philhendryshow.com. Right now there's live streaming video of our show, which is our Phil TV and HD webcast. And you can join us by getting a backstage pass and watching our high-definition video cast of the only radio show in the world that's worth watching, The Phil Hendry Show. With me is Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. Before we get to our phone calls, Ted, a couple of points here on serving alcohol to children. And you were mentioning that there's too much stress when the families come in and say, have you got a kid's menu? Do you serve chicken tenders?
Well, hold on. I I want to go to this issue of alcohol, because every mother listening to me right now, and maybe a lot of fathers know, that it has traditionally been, maybe if you want to call it an old wives' solution or remedy, for a child that is teething, huh? Yeah, when I say the word teething, all of a sudden a lot of mothers out there, they perked up, because I just took a call from Marcy. She's listening to the show at home, and she said, you should tell Phil and his audience about this one particular incident. I don't want to get graphic, but we were having a lot of fun. It was right after Josh was born, and we were having a lot of fun. And Marcy took some vodka and put it on a certain part of her body. And after I was finished, she fed Josh. Okay?
And breastfed.
Yes. Right out.
And you had been... I don't think I needed to hear that story.
Well, I don't understand. What I'm trying to tell you...
Well, it sounds a little juvenile.
Juvenile? I'm a married man.
You didn't need to give me the whole background on that, man, okay? We can just talk about how alcohol will put a child out if they're teething, maybe, in your opinion. I didn't need to hear you and Marcy.
Boy. Well, you're just like all the rest. Man, too bad.
That may be too bad. 877-876-7445, The Phil Hendry Show. Let's go to Pasco, Washington. This is Melinda. Hi, Melinda. You're on The Phil Hendry Show with Ted Bell.
Hi.
Hi.
First off, I am not going to call in and yell at anybody, but I just want to simply start out by saying that I worked in the restaurant industry for several years as a waitress, and to say that the restaurant industry and the servers as a whole want to just shut kids up by providing them alcohol is not a correct statement. There may be a few people out there that make some pretty unlawful and stupid decisions to do that, but as a whole, that's not correct. In all
Ted Bell. You know that as a food server, I'm the owner of the restaurant. I'm Ted Bell. You know that as a food server, it's very stressful to have these families come in and say, the kids' menu, do you have chicken tenders, do you have this, do you have that, when they should know, at least in my restaurant, we have a very adult restaurant, and if you bring your children, that's fine, but we're not bending over backwards for your kid. And that causes a great deal of strain with my servers, who find themselves wanting to medicate or tranquilize the child, yes.
Now, I did agree with your previous statement of stating that it is frustrating when a child is being allowed to run around the restaurant and throw food
and all
of that. And I understand that. But the answer to that is not to unlawfully provide a alcohol beverage to a child that's not even yours. I mean, first off, I think that if that happens, I think the person that does it should be charged with endangering a child.
You're talking about me now. You're talking about me, the owner of the restaurant. I poured red wine into a sip cup, and I took the back of the kid's head with my hand, and I shoved the sip cup into his head, into his mouth, and basically said, in the name of everything holy, drink, or something like that. They told me later.
What do you mean they told you later?
That's how stressed out we were. I said something like, in the name of God or in the name of everything holy, drink it.
In front of the parents?
Yes, in front of the people. Boy, oh boy. I even got a waitress. And I'm sure, Melinda, you were a good server. But
I think the liquor board should come in and take away the liquor license. I think that the person that gave the liquor or the alcohol to the child should be charged with child endangerment, contributing to a minor.
That would be me. So you want me to go to jail? That would be me. So you're asking that I go to jail and all of my waiters. And I would say to you, you have not yet indicted the most indictable group, which are the parents that like to sit back, relax, put their feet up on the table, and watch as the fun begins when their kid drives everyone half mad in the restaurant.
Well, I think, Melinda, you sound very, very sober and thoughtful, and I appreciate that. And you also sound like you know the law very well, which, of course, every food server should.
Well, I don't think he sounds aggressive enough, but you should be ready to defend me, the owner, the boss.
In this case, I would not, because of the fact that being a server can be stressful, but serving patrons, regardless of, I mean, it's part of the job.
Boy. Just like
it is
rest,
part of the
you?
Job, and it is the job and profession that one chooses to do.
Right.
If they are
exactly.
not able to handle it, then get out of it.
Well, you're just like all the rest.
What does that mean, you're just like all the rest?
If being right. like all the rest means protecting the children, then I agree with that statement. I am like the rest when it comes to protecting the children.
No,
absolutely,
no,
you are right.
Not, no, no. Being like all the rest is basically saying to me, the owner of a restaurant, excuse me, do you have chicken tenders? Knowing full well that's like taking a spiked heel and jamming it up into blank, blank, blank.
But asking me if there's something on the menu that's not there would not make me want to.
Melinda, I
got to
go. I appreciate you very much, your call. 877-876-7445.
That was rude. You hung up on that woman.
I'm trying to get through the calls.
When I'm making a good point, you hang up. And I'm telling you, Phil, and I'm telling your audience, when you have your child come into my restaurant and begin that cacophony, that loud, screaming, wailing, static, single note, I can't describe it. I know that every restaurant owner out there knows it. When you have that happening and you do it willingly, that is the same thing as waterboarding me. You know, and I don't want to be melodramatic.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
I don't want to be melodramatic, but that's what it is. You might as well waterboard me. And so what will I do? What would any sane man do? I look for relief. What kind of relief? I try to tranquilize the animal, and then you realize it's a baby, you know. And so...
What do you mean tranquilize the animal?
What does a hunter do when he goes into the jungle and there's an animal in there that's going to kill him? He hit him with a tranquilizer dart. That's what I do. I see what it is, I try to tranquilize it, and then I realize, wait a minute, it's a human being.
But you still try to tranquilize it.
To the extent that it's, I'm not going to tie it to a pole and carry it back to camp.
877-876-7445 is a bizarre, bizarre set of comparisons you're making tonight, sir. Here is Nalani, I think, in Hawaii. Hello, Nalani, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, first of all, I have to say I'm a mother of an 18-month-old son. And
yes,
what
ma'am.
I'm hearing right now, it's making me very furious. I come from, you know, a very nice, laid-back place, but I just can't think right now. I mean, if you say that, you know, mothers give their children booze for cheating, if I want to do that to my son, that's my choice. But
yes, ma'am.
you should leave the decisions up to us. Don't go behind our backs and be giving our children booze in the restaurant. But that's not your decision to make.
Well, Nalani, I want to say, this is Ted Bell, first of all, and I want to say that you have a very beautiful name, and your name evokes the very relaxing and beautiful atmosphere that is Hawaii. And we have opened the Ted's of Beverly Hills, by the way, in Honolulu, which we're very excited about. But I wanted to get to the main point. You're right. It is your choice unless you're not doing anything about it. At which time, then...
What do you mean, unless she's not doing anything about it?
Don't I have some say in it?
No, that's her child.
Well, I know it's her child, but what I'm trying to say is if Nalani's child has gone into what I call that static siren, that... You know what I mean, Nalani?
Yes.
Nalani, okay, so you know when a baby will go... It's one note. And
yes,
that's when I turn and very calmly walk back to the bar. You almost lose your own sense of self. I turn, I walk back to the bar, I lean over, and I tell him to hit me, you know. How about a water back? And then
what are you talking about, man?
I'm talking about...
I don't even know what that is.
I mean, that's why we have laws. If it was okay to give booze to infants and kids, I mean, so I could go around right now if you had kids, but could I give your kids booze and, you know, get
them off? Well, I would say, if to answer you honestly, if my son was making a racket and he was underage and he didn't understand, he was making a big racket and was driving you to the point of taking your own life and maybe the life of your child, too, in a double suicide, I don't know what you want to call it.
What do you mean double suicide? You know, everything you're saying, Ted, there's not one thing you're saying that has any root in reality.
What are you talking about?
I mean, you're telling this lady, if my son, you're talking about your son Josh.
Yeah.
If he's driving her nuts to the point of a double suicide.
I'm saying I would give Nalani the choice to, yes, medicate my son with booze if it was that bad.
And when has any...
Choice. But
right.
You can't go around making the choices for other parents. If you want,
when has your restaurant... When has a kid in your restaurant, Ted, been so loud that you wanted to kill yourself?
How about every other night? When the children come in, Nalani, and not everyone is a beautiful woman like you with a beautiful name coming from Hawaii, and I'm very relaxed. Probably the minute I see you, I'd relax. But not with some of these mothers. The minute I see them, I immediately, I can feel a stroke coming on. I can feel weakness in my left arm. I can feel what I call, if you're familiar with the restaurant business, we call it the Kirk, K-I-R-K. Not Captain Kirk, but Kirk Douglas. And you can almost feel yourself start to do that.
Yes, but see, as a waiter, you have a job.
Yeah.
It's your job. And if you can't take the seat and stay out of the kitchen.
You're absolutely right, ma'am. But the job I have, I can't do if suddenly I feel myself kirking. You know? And
What is kirking? You could Kirk Douglas, the poor, the great actor who had the stroke?
Yes. If you're, and I say it with all due respect. I know Mr. Douglas. But all of a sudden, you're kirking. You can't say what you need to say. And I can tell you it's a frightening, frightening moment.
Well, I don't think that any child that you've ever had in your restaurant, I bet you I'm willing to say, has ever pushed you to the point of kirking. Nalani, thank you very much for your call.
Okay,
yes,
thank
dear?
You.
Thank you very much. We appreciate your call. 877-876-7445. As we talk about the serving of alcohol to children, we've had accidental alcohol service, accidental alcohol intake at about three restaurants over the last couple of weeks of children. And when I say children, I mean toddlers at an Olive Garden. Another was an Applebee's and so forth. Ted Bell, the owner of Ted's of Beverly Hills, says that this is sometimes something that waiters and waitresses feel they must do because the kid's driving them nuts with their noise and the parents drive them nuts with inane questions like, do you have chicken tenders? So our number is 877-876-7445. We'll be right back here with more. Our final segment with Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills on The Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. I was familiar with Kirk Douglas. He'd eaten dinner here once, so I feel that I was. It was tasteful for me to mention kirking, but.
Here at Ted's, we want to put our meat in your mouth.
Well, you understand what I'm saying, right?
Well, I don't know, Ted. I mean.
Don't worry, it's all right.
877. Okay, if it's all right, it's all right. I would not necessarily use that comparison. 877-876-7445. Children and restaurants, and they have been forever more linked, sometimes in very, very happy ways, and other times irritating. Children can run and play and jump and whistle and howl and make noise, and it disturbs diners. Ted Bell is with us, the owner of Ted's of Beverly Hills, who said the incidents that we've been reading about and reporting of children being inadvertently or mistakenly served alcohol, it may not be a mistake at all. It is a subconscious subliminal reaction on the part of the food server to try and calm or quiet down the child. 877-876-7445. Here is Megan on The Phil Hendry Show this evening with Ted Bell. Megan, go ahead, please.
Hi, yeah, I'm a mom of two. My youngest is actually extremely ADHD. But there is no way that I would ever condone giving alcohol to a child because, one, that can cause serious problems. And the only place this man should be serving food is in prison. That is just ridiculous. There's no excuse for it. There's other ways you can calm down a child than giving them alcohol.
Like what? Bring
coloring sheets
give me
with you. I mean, if it's that big of a deal, bring stuff with you from home.
What if they haven't done that? You're talking about the parents. I'm the restaurant owner. What do you want me to do?
Well, why don't you have those things available?
Well, parents should do that.
I don't run a Chuck E. Cheese.
I understand. Parents should do that. But if it comes down to either giving a child alcohol or giving him a coloring sheet, I mean, come on.
There is no choice. The parents have not given this child anything other than the encouragement to act that way because they just pumped sugar into him, pumped an ice cream sundae into him,
ask them nicely to try to calm their child down, or you say, I'm going to have to ask you to leave. I mean, there are other ways to do it.
Well, I went to the, as I think you heard me say, Megan, I went over to our bar. I took a jug of Red Mountain that we had, a table wine. I poured it into the kid's sip cup. I walked back, and I was very calm. But at the very last minute, this is the occupational hazard. I couldn't stand it any longer, and I jammed it into the kid's mouth. And
jammed? What does that mean? Jammed it in?
I took the back of the kid's head, and I said, "Would you shut up?" So.
And if I were the parent right there, I would have stood up and I would have taken the sippy cup and shoved it down your throat.
Oh, so you get to have the kid that screams and yells and causes problems. The minute I try to do something about it, you kick my ass. Thank you very much. Thank you for that. No, I appreciate it very much. Thank you. You know, I'm trying to operate a business, and you've let your child run
mad. A very criminal manner. What if that child has an allergic reaction or something? You want to live with that on your conscience?
What if I get a stroke from your child's behavior? Oh, you didn't think of that, did you? What if I get a stroke? What if I Kirk?
Get out of the business. Find another job. I mean, seriously,
Wait a second, that's not fair. You can't tell. Then why don't you eat at another restaurant? Better yet, why don't you eat at home? You see, I've got an answer for everyone.
No, she is the customer. She's chosen your restaurant. What Megan is saying, Ted, she's the customer. You are the restaurant owner. You are the person that should be grateful that she is there, partaking of your fare, and giving you business. So this is not
whatever
some stare down between you and her.
Right.
Well, at our restaurant, the customer is not always right. And that's what gives us that cut above service.
Work at a bar or someplace that it's just adults. Because obviously you should not be around children. And if you have children yourself, I recommend that somebody take them away from you.
I have a son who is 16. So
well, I am sorry for your
now,
child.
More than welcome. Really? You're sorry for my son? He goes to Beverly Hills High School.
Okay.
Now you don't have anything to say, do you? There, see? I told you.
I'm very proud of your son, but seriously, you're wrong. You are extremely wrong. Like, if you were to ever serve my child alcohol, honey, it would be a bad day for you. A very bad day for you.
Well, it's already a bad day for me.
That is not your prerogative. It is not your choice to make. It is against the law, and it is very wrong.
Your child came into my restaurant. That made it a bad day from that point forward. The fact that I gave him alcohol.
Yeah, that's because you choose to let it get to you. You choose to let it get to you.
Ma'am, even if you were to take your high heel off at that point and drive the heel into one of my eyes, the day would be improving over listening to your kid.
Oh, that's an asinine comment to make. And you know full well what the lady is saying. Thank you very much for your call, Megan. 877-876-7445. We're out of time, Ted.
Oh, of course you're out of time. No, I know you're out of time. You're always out of time when I'm about to come with a home run. When I'm about to swing for the fences and the bags are full and I'm going to park it near the Union 76 ball. Oh, well, gee, we're out of time.
Well, we are out of time.
No, I know that. I know. I know you're out of time, and you always will be out of time every time I have the chance to say something good. Forget it, right?
We don't even have time for the jingle.
Oh, you bastard.
Phil Hendry.